something paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. And
here we are.
Here we are again.
Balmy Tuesday here in Minnesota.
That's right. Very balmy. I mean, here we've had all this cool, chilly weather, and now it's like 100 degrees outside. It's just crazy.
I know. I was driving home from work, and my car said it was like 89 or something like that. I was like, yeah, this is great. I'll take it. Because we're in store for some cold, so I'll take this.
It's right around the corner, right? I mean, and they say it's predicting a really hard, lots of snow, cold winter
snow
this year. Well, that's
not that we can do anything about it.
No, yeah. But let's prepare. You know, I already told Casey, we have to start going to thrift stores and finding all of these, you know, big stuff to wear when we're out looking for the medallion in January.
Exactly.
You know,
or Bigfoot.
Goggles, you know, and the whole nine yards. Yep. So,
yep.
Yes. Well,
I know, I'm looking too.
I have to get normal stuff to look for Bigfoot for sure. But I mean, we need like big snowmobile suits to look for the medallion, you know, because we're out there for hours and hours and hours. So, and snowshoes. I want to look for snowshoes. And,
yes,
you know,
you have to get those.
For the Bigfoot.
You live in Minnesota, for crying out loud. You need snowshoes.
I know. We will figure it out.
They're the best.
Oh, I know. So, anyway. So, how's your week been?
Good. I'm actually feverishly packing and getting ready in my little minutes of time in between for my paranormal camping weekend. This weekend. So, you know, prayers and chat with Mother Earth to help us out. I don't mind any kind of temperature. It doesn't matter if it's hot or cold. Just please no rain while we're camping. Just because we have a decent sized group, I think we have. I mean, it's smaller than it's been before. I capped it because I like to do events, like group events, and it's hard when it's a big group of people. So I think I have it capped at like 18 or 19 people.
That's still a lot,
Well, not for when I normally run a group. So that's small, I guess, for me. So that's cool. We're taking a tour. I booked a private tour for Charles Lindbergh's childhood home.
Oh, fun. Up
on Saturday.
Falls. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm excited for that because, you know, we'll go in and have a look-see and see what happens. I don't, you know, do I ever expect anything? No, but you never know what we'll find. And if anything, it's an interesting history, you know, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, oh, that'll be really fun.
Yeah, and then we sit and tell ghost stories around the campfire, of course, at night.
Always fun.
For sure. So, and then just really, I mean, it's fun to do something different because, you know, paranormal groups go out and investigate and all that stuff, and that's cool, and I love it. But it's fun to do something else where you can just be kind of social and get outside and just sit in nature and not have your phones and no TVs and no nothing and just take it all in, you know? So I'm excited for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So that's what I've got going on. So I'm just getting all my stuff ready because I only camp a couple times a year, so it gets lost in the shuffle.
And you have to write lists and lists and lists to make sure you have everything. At least I do whenever I do something.
I have two lists. I have the gear list and then the food list.
Yes, exactly.
Then,
oh my gosh.
So anyway. Yeah, it's good though. So what are you up to?
Oh, you know what? I've really been working on my yard and my house for the last couple of weekends because I know winter's coming and there's a lot I need to get done. So I've kind of not scheduled anything on my calendar. And, you know, it's really funny because then there's all this stuff that happens too. So sure. I never get out there for the whole day, but it'll happen. It'll get done. It'll get done. It's kind of nice having kind of a freer calendar this year. So, but anyway, but we have a fabulous guest on the show tonight, Heidi.
Yes, we do. I'm excited.
Too. So we're welcoming in Jim Tree. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
We are awesome. So Jim is an author and a teacher and a therapist, and he's kind of does a lot of different things. So Jim, where would you like to start? You have, I know you have a little list of things you wanted to talk about. So what would you like to start with?
First, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I've written two books. I'm part Scandinavian and part Native American, and I'm a member of a group that is dedicated to keeping the sacred pipe out there and people to understand it. So I wrote a book several years ago called The Way of the Sacred Pipe, and it's been really well received. It's really taken off. It's just a little book. And then the last couple of years, I've been working on a project where, through circumstance, it's not really circumstance, I was in Australia, out in the middle of the outback, and met a Aboriginal guy there, and he showed me something that changed my entire life. But it was coupled with information from quantum mechanics and the science of what's called cranial osteopathy, which osteopathic medicine is based on. And I was kind of unique that I had a background in these things. So when the Aboriginal guy showed me this little technique that he used to heal people without ever touching them, I knew exactly what he was doing. It's just I never applied it that way because we do something like that in cranial sacral therapy. So I wrote a book about it, and I've been working with it for quite a while, and I've got it down to where it works every single time. And what it does is it opens up the communication between yourself and your higher source or spirit beings or whatever. They're actually all the same thing. They just take different forms to meet us where we're at. For many, many years, for over 20 years, I've been conducting nature-based ceremonies that connects the spirit realm with the physical realm. And it... You wouldn't believe me if I told you the stories, but you would because there's hundreds of witnesses of how we've interacted with the spirits of nature, spirits of animals and birds. And I'll share a couple of those later on as examples. The book is a culmination of all this experience, and it points out a real easy 7-step process that you can use, anybody can use, to connect with the information that dwells in the what we call the spirit realm. I have to apologize, my throat is dry. So I've got a big bottle of water here. There, sorry about that. Anyhow, I've traveled and taught extensively around the world. I teach the healing modality that I developed, and it's especially popular with osteopathic physicians.
Did we lose him? Jim?
Uh-oh,
that's not good. Jim?
Looks like he's still connected.
Can you hear me?
There we go.
Oh, there he is.
Now you're back. Yep.
Okay, and now I'm back on speaker, so hold on. I got to take it back off.
Okay.
excuse us for our technical difficulties.
You know what? We girls at the gathering have them all the time. So, you know, welcome to the club.
yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, I was just talking about how I have blended this technique that I learned into my therapy classes. And you couldn't believe that I have whole rooms filled with doctors taking this class. And I introduced them in how to connect with the other realm, and use it to help bring healing in the physical realm. So what I'm going to do today, if you guys are bear with me, is I'm going to tell you some of the things that I've learned over the years, some of the experiences I've had, and but I'll let you guys ask questions first.
Well, one of the questions in the chat room is when you were talking about you're a member of a group that's with the Sacred Pipe. What group is that?
It's called the Keepers of the Sacred Tradition of Pipe Makers, okay. Headquartered in Pipestone, Minnesota.
Awesome. Okay.
Yep. And I've been privileged to do pipe ceremonies in some pretty amazing places, like for the UN headquarters in Vienna, Austria.
I saw that on your website.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty cool. pretty big moment.
No kidding. And That's exciting. So you have done so much, and you've been all around the world, you know, speaking and doing these ceremonies and all of this kind of thing. So you've been to many different countries. Let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite place that you like to visit the most? Like, where are the people the warmest and, you know, just open to this kind of thing?
Well, Australia is probably top on the list, and that's a lot of country, yeah. A lot of different parts of it.
Yeah.
Tasmania is especially a favorite of mine.
Oh, fun.
I was privileged to, they had me come down there. And it was a cultural festival, Aboriginal cultural festival. And actually, we had some pretty wild things happen down there. I'll tell you this one, and then as we get going, I'll explain how it happened or how it worked. And that's what I'm all about. I have a science background, and I like to see how do things work. So when I started studying quantum science, I just focused on quantum mechanics and not the physics or anything like that. It describes how things work, like how do you talk to a ghost? How do you talk to how do you communicate with Bigfoot, or how do these supernatural things happen? Well, there's a very logical explanation of how we can interact in that way and in that field, which I'll get to. But first time I went to Australia, they were having a really bad drought, and worst drought in 100 years in this rainforest. And the Aboriginal elders asked me to bring what's called the Black Thunder Pipe down there, because it's real powerful at working with what we call the thunder beings.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't tell the whole story, but I will say there was 350 witnesses.
Wow.
And no rain predicted. I went at dusk. I went to this great big fire they had, and all the people were sitting around. And I told them, I said, this isn't all about fancy stuff or fancy words. I said, if the power is in this pipe to bring the rain, it'll bring it. And I lifted the pipe up into the air, and it was completely dark. And I said, Thunder Beings, we invite you to come and help us. And immediately there was a huge peal of thunder, and it started raining 2.5 inches an hour for 3 days.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So that's the kind of things I'm talking about. And before anybody gets the wrong idea, I like to tell people I'm an example. I'm not Mr. Holy Guy or anything like that. I have a good, clear connection to the next dimension or to the spirit world. But I'm just a regular guy, and I like to say, if I can do this stuff, you guys can do it too. So that's my goal here, is to maybe introduce your audience to a little bit of a broader spectrum of experience and show them how it's actually really natural to connect with others that we can't physically see. And the most important one is, I named it the Athro, A-T-H-R-O. That's Welsh for master teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to have a name, so I just picked that out. But what it really is it's yourself. It's yourself that dwells in the next dimension, but dwells in you in this dimension. It's you, but it's completely matured. When we die and cross over, a lot of people don't realize that we don't carry a lot of the problems or the characteristics from this side to the next side. And in reality, there really is no next side or this side. We're in the other side right now. It's just a matter of having the right senses You know, they talk about, I'm going to jump ahead on this. They talk about the third eye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's pretty well known now that the third eye is actually the pineal gland in the center of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where my cranial background comes in. The pineal gland is about as big as my little fingernail. And yet, mm-hmm. it's the doorway to everything psychic. And if you can stimulate it and clear it, like with really good water, like drinking really good water, you'll find you'll start having more and more spiritual openings. The doorways open up and you'll have more spiritual experiences. It's a very physiological part of our body, but it is literally the gateway into the psychic realm or the mystical realm.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but my daily experience is filled with constant amazing things happening every time I'm, well, the name of the book is The Ether Technique, How to Live a Charmed Life. And literally, there's not a person I meet or a bird that doesn't fly in front of my Jeep or anything that isn't part of a beautiful big dance of life. And once you mm-hmm. recognize it and you start cooperating with it and letting the dance partner lead, which is your higher self, mm-hmm. it's amazing how things happen. But I won't get too much into that. I just wanted to talk about the pineal gland.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the rainstorm. How did that happen? Well, timing is really important. I believe that storm was going to come, even though it wasn't predicted. And
hello? Uh-oh. Jim, you're cutting out. Jim? Well, let's see if he comes back. He did the last time, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll say while we're waiting for him to come back, I just ordered his book right now. I was looking at the website, and I posted the website in the chat room.
Yeah.
His website is jimtree.com. And I saw the books, and I saw the Athero Technique book. And so I ordered the signed copy, because you can go to Amazon and get one. But why do that when you can go right to the source and get a signed copy? So I did that.
Yes.
Just now. Awesome. So I'll have that, and I'll read it, because it sounds like I think a lot of it is how I think, too. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, whatever. I think I would resonate, we'll say that, with what he's saying. So
Yeah,
so that'll be an interesting read. So
oh,
I'm excited
for
that.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm sitting here looking at his website going, oh, this guy's done a lot of stuff. And then I'm like, oh, here's his book. So
yeah.
I ordered it.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Well, and it was fast. I appreciate his site. It wasn't all this monkey business. So thank
you,
Jim.
Some of them are. You know, that's why we
some
were.
Some of them go through five different pages to get something ordered.
Right. Right.
So anyway, it was done before I knew it. I was like, gosh, I hope all that information was right.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome.
Because I didn't type anything in. So it was good. No, it was good.
Good. Well, I hope he can come back on. I'm not sure what happened here.
I mean, he's on, but I don't know why we can't hear him. I see he's still on he's still connected, so.
Yeah, so something's happening. He is still connected. So, well, okay. So this whole thing about the rain coming after, you know, all this drought, that's amazing. 2.5 inches an hour for 3 days? Holy crap. That's just.
Be careful what you wish for.
Right, right.
That sounds like a flood. And then that, I can imagine sometimes with a dry, barren land and they have an instant flood, it's almost worse, you know,
right.
But I'm sure it worked out. I'm not saying it didn't work out, but it's like, wow, that's a lot of water to have
you're
in a massive drought.
Yeah. A lot of water for us to have in Minnesota. So can you imagine if you're, you know, like in a desert kind of situation because it's such a drought, you know? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Jim, are you there? Can you hear us at all? It sounds like he's trying to talk and it's just not coming through.
Yeah. He might. I believe he was on some kind of, maybe it was a cell phone or something. So I wonder if he's having connection issues or reception issues or I don't know.
Right. Maybe, I think I'm going to text him and ask him to maybe hang up and call back. Maybe that will work better.
Or Sarge might have to call him.
Yeah.
Sorry about this, everybody. But it's the first that it wasn't Stephanie or I. So.
I know. I'm glad.
but it's got to be someone. because that's how we roll.
Having him attack.
So, yeah, if you want to check out his website, he's got some really interesting things. I'll talk here just a little bit about Jim while we're waiting for him to get back on. First of all, in his About Jim page, he's posing with a kangaroo. I'm thinking it's kangaroo or it's a wallaby or something. I don't know. But he looks like he's down under, and that's a cool picture. But he has a couple books, The Way of the Sacred Pipe, the care and use of the sacred pipe, and then also the Athro Technique, How to Live a Charmed Life. So there's two books you can check out. He's a spiritual advisor for a federally recognized intertribal Native American group based in Pipestone, Minnesota. And he served on a board of advisors in Santa Fe, E.T. Sutton Institute. He's done a lot of stuff. So I guess recommend to check out his website because he's got a lot of interesting, like you said earlier, stuff. He's done a lot of things, so it's interesting just to read on his website. Jim, are you there? No, I mean I think he's trying to get in, but I can't.
Yes.
We can't.
Yeah. There he is.
My blue. There. What? When did I get cut off?
You had just started talking again about the rain that came in flood. That it was 2.5. Okay. Inches per hour or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then you missed the whole story about the hawk, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So I want to just step back to what I originally was thinking. I want to talk about three situations where people who were passed over had contacted me. And I want to describe how they did it. And it's not like I went out and set out to try and contact them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was a young man named Eric, who was found. His body was found up on this land that I was right next door to it, mountains of Colorado, and I had a sweat lodge there. And a sweat lodge, like many ceremonies, is like a portal into the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in the lodge with a group of people, and all of a sudden I felt something grab my knee. And I thought it was the guy sitting next to me, but there's like a gap between us because there's a door. And I said, I kind of whispered, so what do you want? And I heard this voice in my ear, and he says, oh, I'm so glad you're talking to me. Nobody will talk to me. And I said, well, who are you? And he says, my name's Eric.
Mm-hmm.
And turns out, and I didn't know that he'd been actually murdered over there, but I figured out what he was. He's a human being caught between the worlds, so to speak. And I said, I'm going to open a doorway here, and I'm going to let a light shine through it. And if you just follow that light, you'll be able to be where you can talk with people and really be happy. And so after the lodge was done, didn't tell anybody, but a couple weeks later, there was another cabin in the mountains a little ways over. And the woman from there, I met her, and she didn't live there. It was a family cabin for vacations. And she told me that this horrible story about how her 18-year-old son,
we get to the good part of the story and then we lose him.
I know, right?
And Jim, I don't think he can hear us telling him. We can't hear him.
Okay,
there you go.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Sorry about that. So his mom's telling me that he was murdered behind their cabin by somebody. And then he'd been left there and with a pistol next to him. And the police said, oh, well, he committed suicide. But she said he had no reason to commit suicide. He was very happy, had a great girlfriend, good job. So I said, well, what's his name? And she said, his name was Eric. So that kind of blew me away. What had happened, Eric had been making lots of noises up there because the high school kids from the town would come up there and party, and they'd always get scared away. Well, what he was doing, he was banging on stuff to try and cross the gap between the dimension he's in and we're in. And there's certain things that can be done. So in the sweat lodge, he was able to actually touch me and tell me enough so I could send him on his way. Now, the next one is the editor of my first book passed away, and she asked me to do what's called a crossing over ceremony for her. And I did, and I knew she was going to be, she was just going to go that night. And so I told her name is Val. I said, Val, this is the first time I've ever done this ceremony. Would you do me a favor? And if everything went right, and you're on the other side, if you could send me a sign that everything's okay. And she said, well, I don't know if I can. I'll have to wait till you get there. And so she said she would send me a specific color of a dragonfly. Now, it was in the late fall in Montana, up in the mountains. There were no dragonflies. She passed away at 2 in the morning. The next day, her husband took a foam pad that she'd been laying on out to air it out in the sun. And when he came out to get it, there was this exact color of a dragonfly right in the middle of it. And wow. He didn't tell me. I didn't know for about 2 weeks until he showed me a picture of it. And he wasn't there. I mean, it was just Val and myself. So she crossed over the border with a dragonfly. And she actually used the dragonfly to meet with several people and for a couple of years. Some really dramatic things, but I won't go into those. The last one just happened a week ago. A dear friend of mine, one of the elders from our group, his name is Ole Job, he passed away. And in our tradition, we wait 3 days, which is to give the spirit time to kind of like wrap things up with different people. And a lot of times people will see or feel, especially children, will see that person. And they're almost always saying, hey, everything's okay. It's good. And then we do the ceremony called the crossing over ceremony and kind of sort of speak, send them on their way, although we don't really have the right or the ability to do that. But it's just kind of a releasing. So I did it for Ole, and I had a bunch of smudge, sweetgrass and sage and cedar burning in a shell next to a creek. And the wind was blowing steadily from the north to the south the whole time. And when I ended the ceremony, I was just going to dump this burning stuff into the water. And my intuition said, no, wait. And I waited, and the wind stopped. And suddenly it picked up, and it blew to all the four directions, each in sequence. And then it stopped, and the smoke did not rise. It settled down on the ground, which is what we do when we are working with the spirits. We, you know, start with the east, then the south, the west, the north, Mother Earth, and then Creator. And after it went down to the earth, it suddenly just shot straight up in a really big swirling plume up, and then it continued to just blow south again. And to me, that was Ole using whatever means he could to let me know that he's doing good, he's okay. Now, cool. I've got...
That's awesome.
Go ahead. Yeah, I've got... This isn't just a few occurrences. I mean, this has been happening in my life for over 20 years, and it's gotten to the point now where, like I say, it's literally amazing every day. Some coincidence happens. It's even when they're... like I say, even when it looks bad, it just turns around. So...
Wow.
Okay, you got any questions?
Heidi.
Well, that's the work you do all the time, right? I mean, you do like ceremonies and you travel and you help and do healing. I mean, that's what you do full time now? You just do everything you were just talking about, correct?
Yeah, that's my full time job. And
that's cool.
I did incorporate with the healing technique. I've been teaching that for probably about 10 years. And the last year, well, 2.5 years, it has totally transformed because it added the aspect of interdimensional cooperation to it. And one example, I mean, the results are tremendous, but I had a man come in, well, his wife brought him in because he couldn't walk by himself. And he had been to Mayo Clinic, and he's actually I work with him next week. Mayo Clinic said he had an unspecified brain disease. They couldn't figure out what it was. And I worked on him the first time. His wife and I had to help him onto the table. He couldn't judge distances. He could hardly talk clearly. His mind was just completely scrambled. And he couldn't lift his feet to walk into a place, so his wife continually had to guide him. I spent 45 minutes working on him, and I incorporated what's called the Afro technique into the therapy, which is, I'll give you a real quick rundown on that as soon as I finish telling about this guy. And he gets up off the table by himself, His wife said, quote unquote, honey, how do you feel? And he says, I feel great. And he starts doing Tai Chi and dancing.
And wow.
What?
That's what people would call miraculous. But what I've done is I've figured out through quantum mechanics why these things happen and how we can make them happen. Mm-hmm. And that's my current thing I'm doing. I'm traveling and teaching about that. And it's pretty amazing. Teach that to, like, especially over in Europe, to doctors, and say, okay, if you can incorporate this multidimensional aspect into your regular osteopathic medicine, you can have really amazing results.
Right.
And
you want to
know what
so
the technique
cool.
is.
Well, you know, it's the half hour, so we need to take a 2-minute break. But as soon as we get back, let's talk about the technique, okay? So everyone stay with us. We're going to go to commercial break. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering on the Para-X Network.
Millions of people are affected by the Para-X bug.
I realize that it is something that will stay with me for the rest of my life and long into the afterlife as well.
If you have the Para-X bug, there is hope.
With a nightly visit to the Para-X website and intensive past life regression therapy, I can control it.
Even with the Para-X bug, I can still lead an active life of radio show hosting, paranormal investigating, evidence checking, attending conferences, book writing, keeping up with the latest technology, and still keep my 40-hour-a-week day job.
If you think that you have the Para-X bug or know someone who might, visit para-x.com. And remember, you are not alone.
I am not alone.
I
am not alone.
The Para-X bug may cause the urge to chase shadow people, visit exotic haunted locations, adopt a pug wedgie, or spend all of your time trying to figure out the laws and principles of paranormal investigation. Listening to Para-X may increase these effects.
Sudden visions of full-body apparitions or feeling the covers being pulled off you in the middle of the night by unseen hands may also be signs of exposure to the Para-X bug.
The use of Para-X may be habit-forming, and an overwhelming desire to provoke spirits may be a serious side effect. If these symptoms last more than 4 hours, you should quickly consult a trusted witch and have her cast a "What the hell are you thinking?" spell on you. If symptoms persist, please contact the Para-X Radio Network Homeland Security Team for further instructions.
The Para-X bug may cause urges for late-night speaking with spirits and ghosts. Listening to Para-X may increase these effects. Overwhelming desire to try provoking a spirit may be a serious side effect. Those with Para-X bug effects lasting more than 4 hours should consult Para-X or see a professional. Sudden outbursts at the mention of orbs may be a sign of exposure to the Para-X bug. Use of Para-X may be habit-forming. Use caution when engaging in Para-X chat.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, welcome back to The Gathering, everyone. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we are talking with Jim Tree this evening, who is talking about the Athro technique, which we are going to be hearing all about here. I think we've got Jim back on. Are you with us, Jim?
Yep, I am.
Awesome. Perfect. So we'd love to hear about this technique now that we're done with our commercial break. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a 7-step technique that I combine putting pressure on a certain part of the skull, which actually stimulates the pineal gland. So that's like, it's like using the physical to open up the metaphysical doorway. Mm-hmm. It's all based on the principle that we don't create our stuff by ourselves. We co-create with helpers. And it's, I teach in there about how to communicate with your own personal helpers, and then sometimes much bigger beings. Like I said, they can come in many different forms, but the form that they come in, or they reveal themselves to you in, are specifically for you. If you're a Native American, they might come in a nature spirit. If you're a Christian, they might come as an angel. Doesn't matter. They're all from the same source, which is what we call the great mystery, because there's no real word that describes clearly what that great, amazing being is. But it's a matter of learning to work as a team
And so you simply close your eyes and you first you call on your helpers. And this is described in much more detail, but this is it roughly. You call on your helpers and you tell them what your intention is. And you're kind of like the boss of a construction crew. You call on the crew and you say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a bridge, and this is what we're going to do. And then you turn them loose with the equipment to do it and materials. Now, the equipment and materials is actual measurable electromagnetic and chemical energies that are emitted from your brain. So you, through this technique, you actually create this energy, and then there's a secret way to project it out of your brain into the 3D world. And what happens is your helpers take that material, that energy, and they literally create the physical manifestation of what you're thinking in your head. And so if I'm doing healing on somebody, oh, and the most important part is the very last step, and that's you tell them thank you for helping. Mm. That's actually really critical. There's one part of it where you've got this all this energy ramped up inside your physical brain, not just your mind, but your brain. And it's dumping chemicals into your body and all this kind of stuff. But then you have to amp it up even more by generating electromagnetic impulses from your physical heart, the heart muscle. And I tell how to do that. And when you combine the two, then you have to project it out into this 3D world. And that's done through vibration. I've been teaching this all over the place. And I have people in other countries. I got people all over here in Montana that have been practicing this. And it literally, in a matter of not that much time, maybe a few weeks practice, it's transforming their lives into a charmed life. And what's a charmed life? It doesn't mean that everything always goes perfect for you, but it means that when something doesn't, you have the ability to use this technique to fix it or to make it come out for the best. And sometimes I'm working on somebody and they're really sick, like maybe have cancer. And I'm not calling this a cure for cancer. I worked for 4.5 years with an oncologist developing the hands-on therapy. It really helps people that have cancer, but it doesn't cure cancer. But it may be in their life path that that's their destiny, is to have the cancer and go through that experience. But there's ways you can find out and understand this from I'll tell you where the source is. According to quantum science, we're living in a dimension that's three-dimensional, and our five or six senses are able to, the five senses are able to measure and judge and say, well, here we are in this room. And the next dimension is called hyperspace by scientists, and we actually exist there as in harmony with existing here in this physical body. But the difference is that all of us, all of our aspects of ourselves that are in this next dimension are in harmony and no stress and everything's beautiful and we're all working together. So the Aboriginals call that the dream time. It's space, it's place. It's not just something in your head. And the way everything is being created on a daily basis in our lives is because of the thoughts that are being put out by our higher self, our ethereal, and as it's communicated down through this brain that we have, and there's the soul that dwells in there, we are able to bring those aspects of what our higher self wants to have for an experience in life. I don't want to get too off on that, but all the mystics and I'll say all the authentic mystics and medicine people and wizards and all the people through all the centuries that we've heard about had an ability to just amazingly do, you know, work with the weather, work with this, work, you know, perform miracles. That's because they knew the secret of this. And that's what Frank Ansell, the Aboriginal man, revealed to me over there. Now, it's something I have a seer, a really good friend of mine named Alondra Napoli Kai. She's out of Canada. And before I go on a trip, I have her do a reading for me over the phone. And she told me, she said, you're going to go to the center of Australia. I said, no, I'm not. I'm going to Tasmania. She goes, no. Yeah.
And she says, no, you're going to the center, and you're going to meet an Aboriginal elder. And she described him. And she said, he's going to teach you one thing that you already know, that it'll change your entire life. Wow. So I find myself in the center of Australia, and I run into Frank Ansell, and he's showing me how he heals people without ever touching them. And I witnessed him do a complete vertebrae adjustment on a woman who's standing next to me, just like a chiropractor, and he was 12 feet away. So he took me out into the bush, and he proceeded to tell me the one thing that I already knew. It was a place on the skull that you put pressure on, and it causes that activation of all the different parts of the brain and stimulation of it. So that's that's the technique.
So that's what you teach in the book in depth.
Yeah, and all the steps and what to all the things that I've learned by mistakes not to do.
Got it.
So
that's important.
And it's a little book. It's not like a big long book. I when I wrote it, I had 365 pages. And again, I was talking to Philandra, and she said, you've really put way too much in the book. It's going to muddy it up. She says you need to just focus on just the technique. So it's a little small book, but it's got some pretty powerful information in it.
Awesome. So can you perform this on yourself, by yourself?
Yes. And one of the key conditions is you need to have an inspiration or intuition from your higher self, from your astral, before you do it. And that way, it's always in harmony with the highest good for everybody. So you can use it on coworkers, but it's not manipulating them. It's only setting the situation up for something that's best for everybody. And I talk about that in there. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like hypnosis. You can't make somebody do something that they aren't going to do or wouldn't do with this, because it won't override their higher self. But I've I had extremely high blood pressure, and it was actually from an accident. And I went to my osteopath, and he got it down, but it was still really high. And one day I was just driving along, and I said to myself, man, I really wish I could fix that high blood pressure. And I got the inspiration. The communication from my higher self said, well, why don't you do the technique right now? So I did, as I'm driving, which is not good, because it's easier if you close your eyes. I did the technique, and I asked the question, but how would I feel if the solution to my blood pressure came? And I've tried all the drugs and everything, and nothing would touch it. So 2 days later, I'm talking to my doctor, and it wasn't about blood pressure, but over in Europe, they've discovered this camera and a computer. You take a picture of the blood vessels in your eyes, and they can tell how much hardening of arteries you have. And he says, well, we've got the solution to that. I was beginning to have hardening. And he said, you need to take 3,000 milligrams of ultra pure vitamin C with lysine and bromine, something like that, and drink it in water all day long. And do that for 6 months. Well, at 3 months, my blood pressure, both the high and low, dropped 40 points just from taking the vitamin C. So I put I put the energy out there. My spirit helpers, they took that energy and created a scenario where I would be at the right place at the right time talking with the right person to find the solution, which all the rest of the doctors had not ever thought of that. And so that's just an example of using it on myself.
Wow. While you were driving, no less.
Yeah.
Right.
I had to keep my eyes open.
But it still works. I mean, you have your eyes open. So that's got to, I mean, that's not something that if you do it with your eyes closed as recommended, could it even be more impactful? I mean, I don't know.
It's easier for you, the person that's doing it. Because when you close your eyes, you block out all the distractions, and you really have to think about how would I feel if this solution appeared. In the book, I talk about I needed $20,000. There's a chapter called Off the Radar, and it's really an important part of this. when we do these things, we don't put any expectations on how it'll happen or even what will happen. We leave that up to the spirit beings that are creating with the energy we've created in our brain. And I needed $20,000 for a business project, and I did this. And I don't remember if it was the next day or 2 days later. Anyhow, I received a letter in the mail to my dad, not me. I was over at his house helping take care of him. He had a bad heart. And this letter for me comes to his house. And so I'm there, like, timing's right. I open it up. It's from a company I worked for like 25 years ago. And when I left that company, I cleared everything out and transferred it to the new company, which, by the way, I have over 30 years experience as a senior biomedical engineer. So I do understand chemistry and electronics and biochemistry and all those things quite well. But anyhow, the letter in there said, we're closing out your pension fund because we're just continuing it. And we want to know what you want to do with it. And I know I didn't have a pension fund, but somehow I had one. And they said, you can wait till you turn 65 and you can get $103 a month, or you can get $24,000 right now.
Well,
so I never thought that that's how this money would show up. You know, it's, and after the taxes, I had $20,000 and wow. I did go with my project.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, how much time do we have?
We have 13 minutes left. Well, 10.
Give or take. A little less, yeah. Yeah, about 10.
Okay. All right. Well, getting back to the paranormal, or para-X, when you're communicating with these helpful beings, you start having paranormal experiences all the time. And they're not scary. They're not out of control. They're actually really fascinating. And in the book, I talk about connecting through the dimension in hyperspace with other human beings that have already matured as a people. They're called the Chacoans in New Mexico. And I'm not going to tell the story now, but it's a real interesting experience where I was actually able to go into the next dimension and interact with these people. And I also share in the book about I had a near-death experience where I died and the doctor had to resuscitate me. And I actually went into hyperspace at that time, and it was really amazing. It's a really amazing place. I'll just say one thing about it. The people there don't communicate by talking. They think. They just think telepathically back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting.
So I have a question. Can I ask you this? So when your heart stopped beating before they resuscitated you and you went there, what did it look like? What did you experience?
Well, there wasn't a tunnel of light, so I know I didn't go to heaven.
Okay.
I believe it was as much heaven for me. It was a huge forest. And I've been a naturalist ever since I was a little kid,
mm-hmm.
meaning I just live with nature. And anyhow,
mm-hmm.
and there was a little old man that was in the forest and started walking next to me, just kind of like being a guide. And I would ask questions in my mind, and he would answer them from his mind. Mm-hmm. And then we ended up going to a village, like big log buildings. And people were outside cooking on fires. They had metal pots, but wood fire. And everybody was ignoring me, but he was talking to me. And all of a sudden, this little girl, probably about 7 or 8 years old, saw me and jumped up, ran from her fire. And she was so happy to see me. And I didn't know who she was. And her mother thought telepathically, "No, don't look at him. Come back here." And so I looked at the guy that was guiding me around, and I said, "What? That's really weird. Why won't anybody look at me?" And he said, "Well, if they acknowledge you, you have to stay, but we're mm-hmm. going to send you back."
Yep.
And I tell it in this book, but when I woke up, the doctor was resuscitating me, and she said that she almost didn't, because I wasn't purple, I was gray, meaning the oxygen was gone out of my blood. But when she resuscitated me, there's an old man and
seven others had gathered around me, and they were chanting, "Bad karma, bad karma." And when I woke up, I could hear them. I could still hear them. And so I said it out loud. I said, "Oh, bad karma." And the doctor laughed and says, "Well, I guess so." So, anyhow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It was really nice there. Yeah, it was really nice there.
But you were totally unafraid, right? You were totally unafraid, and it was a really good experience. Did you see anybody from your past that has already passed on?
No, nobody that I recognize. But I've since then call it my village, and I know that that's like my permanent home, like the million years of old, you know, like I believe that we come into this lifetime with a plan and contracts, and we fulfill those as we go along. And if something happens, like in my case, I was bitten five times by a black widow spider. Things come in to disrupt the plan. Well, that's where you die and you go up there and they say, "No, not yet. We're going to send you back."
Yeah.
But I do think I know who the elder, the old man was. He's a Hopi elder that passed away in 1974 because I recognized him from a picture.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, one of the things that, so Dave, you know, Dave is in the chat room and listening. And one of the questions he has is this interdimensional communication similar to lucid dreaming? Is it the same thing?
Not most of the time, but when I have had lucid dreaming, I had one this morning. Mm-hmm. And Dave, you'll be interested. There were three pipes in it and the thunder beings. And coincidentally, someone contacted me this morning. They just had a baby boy. And they wanted to know if I would give him a name, a spirit name, and immediately knew it was Thunder. So that was a message from the other side to me that I didn't know what it was for until I got the message about this baby being born.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've had a few experiences where I'm lucid dreaming, and it's always been something that was very informational. One of my sons got his name at birth, because back then we didn't know if you're having a baby, a boy or a girl, and so we figured we were having a girl and had all the names picked out. But when he was born, we didn't have a name for him. So I was in lucid dreaming, and a spirit man, being whatever, came to me and gave me his name as an object in his hand, and he said, "Here, you can name him this." So the lucid dreaming is just one part of that communication. It's, for me, a very small part. But when it happens, it's really dramatic.
Wow. This is a lot to take in. This is a lot to wrap my head around, can I just say?
with that, I'll tell you, when I was studying quantum mechanics with a guy named Dr. Vernon Wolf, he made a statement to me that I couldn't wrap my head around it. And I just threw this out to be a mind teaser for you guys. It's an absolute law of quantum physics that every human problem is generated by the solution which already exists in hyperspace, because the solution wants to manifest itself by solving the problem. And that's not a theory. That's a quantum science right there. Yeah. Took me a long time to get my mind around that one.
Yeah. So every problem that happens already has a solution.
Yep.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And it, yep.
Yeah. Because there has to be balance. There has to be equal. Yeah. Right? So that would make sense.
So if you learn how to communicate with your higher self, which dwells in hyperspace, and which you guys already do because of where you're at in your spiritual life, it's just your higher self has access to something called the zero point field of energy. And what that is it's a place where absolutely there's no energy at all. It's absolute zero temperature. And I don't mean zero like on a thermometer. We're talking, you know, over 1,000 degrees below zero. Mm-hmm. And where there's no heat, there's no energy, no movement of molecules, everything just stops and is still and in hyperspace.
But there's a field there that, even though there's no detectable energy, there's still motion of molecules, and they call it the source of all information, human information, past, present, and future. And this is what the Ather technique is about, is connecting with that field of zero-point energy and getting the communication from it about your past, about your present, and about your future. And that's we could go into the future one on another call. I've been receiving predictions from pipe ceremonies since 2005, and they've been amazingly accurate on storms and Superstorm Sandy and exactly where it was going to hit. Hurricanes and stuff. That's a lot of fun.
That's crazy. Crazy. This is all crazy talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I dig it. That's kind of where I roll. I hang out here, so I get it, and I like it. So,
for sure.
Thank you.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
So one last question, Steph. Should we take one? We have one more question in the chat room. Quick. We have like a minute to answer this.
Okay.
Jim? So Sherry in the chat room, what does that zero-point energy place look like? Have you seen it?
Nobody's seen it, but they can measure the effect of energy and the movement of molecules. And to answer that, when I talked to some spirit beings that told me they were from outer space, that really sounds crazy, they told me they were energy, they weren't bodies. And I said, well, where do you live? They said, we're in the gas clouds. So that's just a little tidbit to chew on.
Okay.
The gas clouds. Cool. Awesome. Well, this has been, you know, Jim, this has been a fascinating conversation. And like I said, it's kind of too much for my little brain, but I'll be thinking about this and I'll probably get your books too and call you and say, Jim, what does this mean?
I'm excited to get the book too, because I want to read more about that.
Cool. It's an easy read too. It's pretty smooth. You two and of course Dave can call me anytime.
Oh, awesome.
Perfect.
I don't know if you should open yourself up to that, Jim.
Well, that's just for the three of you. Dave said that you guys are A-OK.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave. Cool. All right.
This has been fun.
This has been really fun. So I hope you'll come on again at some point, you know, in a few months or whatever, and we'll talk some more. And, you know, maybe Dave said his phone number is blah, blah, blah.
No.
He's teasing. But then, you know, Heidi and I will have done our homework and we'll have read the books and, you know, maybe we'll have more better questions to ask you at that point. But this has been an awesome hour. Thank you so much, Jim, for your time. And
thank you.
Well, we have to thank everybody else too while we're got a minute left here. So everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. Thanks for the questions in the chat room and those folks that were there in the chat room. If we have any troops listening across the globe, thank you for your service and veterans as well. And be safe. Yeah, exactly. And Para X Network, thank you so much for hosting us. And Sarge, our awesome producer. Thank you. And Steph.
Nicely
done.
We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Same time.
We'll see you all next week. And thanks to Jim Tree again. And have a great week, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.